continue to encourage you in the Word. How many last week that were here got a fresh vision of who your enemy is? It's not your spouse. It's not your neighbor. It's not your job. Are you with me? We have an enemy. We need to realize that we can stand fast. That's what this fight of faith is all about. It's Gehazi, who can't see, afraid, surrounded and overwhelmed by enemies. And Elisha saying, do you remember this from a few weeks ago? Elisha saying, Lord, open up his eyes. Elisha didn't need to see it. Elisha knew, open up his eyes that he can see. And when Gehazi's eyes were open, he said, oh, wow, there's a whole lot more that are with us than are with them. And great boldness came in as they saw spiritual after spiritual and stood their ground in faith. How many are glad for that this morning? So I want you to look at a few scriptures. We're going to continue our journey on faith. How many are enjoying this series? It may last 2 years. Series on faith. How many know that faith, like grace, is not something you just touch a couple of times and move on? I want to see us continue to grow in faith. How many of you ever heard this? Oh, he's one of them faith guys. I like what I just heard from some of you. Praise God. You absolutely should not duck and shuck if somebody says that about you. Let's turn this thing around. I don't care how unpopular it is right now. The just shall live by faith. Dad and I were talking yesterday about some of the few things. That's probably why that's still lingering in me. But, you know, different camps, how many know, have done great things for the body of Christ? And then they've gone on to go into some extreme. The ship went down in flames, and we, many of us, threw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, you have the spirit-filled renewal that took place in the 70s, the 80s, faith, the 90s, a real true understanding of prosperity. How many are glad for prosperity which comes from the Lord? You better hope, because if you don't believe that God prospers you, oh, you're talking about the prosperity gospel, are you, Pastor Lee? No, I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel. I'm talking about the gospel which prospers you. Proverbs 10:21 declares the blessing. How many are blessed of the Lord? The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it or to it. Isn't that amazing? So how many in here are prospering yourselves? No. How many in here are prospering? I tricked you. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean. How many are prospering yourself by your own sweat and brow and your own arm? Boy, the hands come back down real quick. How many believe that God is the one who prospers you in every sense of the word? Can you lift both hands this morning? Thank you. I'm prosperous, Lord, because of who you are. Jesus, say it with me, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. That's a word for you and I. Say it with me. You were made poor, Jesus, so that I could have a full supply to be a blessing to those around me. No thing has a hold of me. I can turn it loose so I can receive it. Hallelujah. And you are the one who prospers me. Aren't you glad for that today? Aren't you glad for that today? Aren't you glad for that today? But every movement's come along and they've had an extreme. You have people that came along. Brother Hagin came along and taught us about faith. He taught us what the scripture reveals, that faith has a voice, that faith works according to words spoken. God did not just grunt. He wasn't spiritually constipated and then the world became. God opened his mouth and he spoke. Hebrews tells us that the worlds were framed by the word of his power. He didn't say power of his word. That's where we get in trouble. We turn this into a formula and we think our many words is what gets us something. Here's the way God established it from the beginning. It says that everything that you see was created by the word of his power. This is found in Hebrews 1. In other words, His power, that's the big deal. His grace, His ability is released when we open our mouths with faith believing. This is what Jesus was saying in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, when He told them in 22, have the faith of God. And then He describes it to them as we looked at it last week. He said, open your mouth and talk to your mountain. And if you believe what you're saying in your heart and you believe that what you say will come to pass, here's what it says. I don't care who wants to criticize you. You will have what you say. Say with me today, I want to fly in the face of the criticism of the faith camp today, and I want you to say with me, I can have what I say. Come on, say it out loud like you mean it. I can have what I say. Now, there is a context for that. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done. This doesn't mean that you can go out and lay hands on John Harris's beautiful, that thing is so pretty, big yellow truck. Isn't it pretty, John? Come on, John, help me out. It is a pretty truck. Lay hands on John's truck and say, I can have what I say. So right now, I confess in Jesus' name, I have John's, right? You know, back when I was going to school at Rhema, there were people that were young men that were claiming. Young, listen, there's a will of God factor in here that we got to understand. But what he's talking about is find the promises of God, stand on those promises, open your mouth and speak the promises forth. Stand against your enemy, speak to your mountain, never duck from that. Say with me today, like you mean it, shout it out. I'm a faith person. I go to a faith church. In fact, it's better than that, people. It's a grace and faith church. Isn't that great? But never duck. Just because people have gone overboard doesn't mean that there isn't, I said it a couple of weeks ago and I'll say it again, a counterfeit is a sure sign there is a real. So if you're over there frustrating yourself and thinking your enemy's the counterfeit, get your eyes off the counterfeit. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Get your eyes back on the Word of God. Begin to open your mouth and boldly proclaim. And if somebody says about, you're one of those faith people, say, yes, I am. You must go to one of them faith churches. Oh, brother, you ought to come check it out. Let me tell you what God has done in me. It isn't popular right now, but we can turn the boat around. I'm just crazy enough to believe that. America is in trouble. But we still have a sure foundation found in the Word of God. We can stand. Listen, the Old Testament is full of impossible odds. Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine, to defy the armies of God? A little scrawny guitar player standing in the face of a 9-foot-plus giant. As the whole army of God trembled in fear, he says, this day I'll have your head and the prize that goes with it. The Bible is full of impossible. Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. We would have said, you little coward. Whew. Lift your hands one more time. Say, God sees things in me that I never saw before. I better hook up. I'm a faith man. I'm a faith woman. I live by faith. I'm unashamed of this great gospel. Hallelujah. You can sit there and criticize and miss out on your blessing, or you can just get free like a child and say, God, I trust you. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you in the Word today, again, like we did last week. If I get to my message, fine. If not, oh well. But I want to encourage you once more in Scripture. Look with me at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Now, we've danced around the edges of this. I've quoted it, referenced it, but I want you to look at this Scripture. Now, the context. Now, if I were going to put a title to this message today, it could be Scriptures Out of Context on Purpose. You know I'm a big context guy, so we're going to go the other way. Just like the other day, we've been criticizing formulas. I said, now I'm going to give you a formula. I just got to keep you hopping, keep you looking. Keep you awake. Keep you moving. So today we're going to take a few scriptures completely out of context. And I say that tongue in cheek because the principle there is eternal, it's scriptural, and it's the way God works all the way around His system, if you would. So, Galatians chapter 6. Now, the context here is money. Relax. We're not going to talk about money. All right? But, right here, I want you to look at a scripture that has a principle tucked inside a different context. Here we go. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, probably more than half of you, maybe not, because we hit this pretty hard a number of months back, but more than half of you, and it's easy to slide back, feel a little bit of a darkening when you hear this verse. A little bit of a restricting. A little teeny bit of a cowering. A little bit of a sense of the possibility of impending failure. Because God's gonna get you. That shows you how deceitful the enemy is. And just like he did with Jesus, use scripture to try to defile, divert, corrupt God's plan. This is not a negative. Look up here, people. Smile big for me. Let me see those pearly whites. This is not a negative. This is a promise. Do you know how I know? Because the next verse defines what he's talking about. He says, if you sow to the flesh, that God, and from that God, you're going to reap defilement and destruction. How many know what I'm talking about? If you live according to the flesh. In other words, I'm going to work for it. I'm going to do what I can. Get out of my way, you, who, whoever. I'm going to do it my way. All right? You sow according to the flesh. You sow after the flesh. And I wish I had time to get into that more. It isn't talking about necessarily sin. We dealt with this in quite length, and I showed you scriptures beyond the shadow of a doubt. This is not, we automatically go to sin, and then we automatically disqualify ourselves, and we hang on to a thread of hope, saying, well, I've given and I hope that I, no, excuse me, there's a promise here. He says, very clearly, be not deceived, God's not going to be mocked. Here's the promise, whatever you sow. How many in here have sowed? Prayer. Phone calls. A word in season. Money towards the cause of the gospel when you didn't have enough to take care of your own deal. Come on, how many in here? Go ahead. How many in here? How many in here have sown in tears? Here's what scripture says over and over and over again. Over and over and over again, the promise is when we sow in faith the kingdom of God, God will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, this is a happy verse. Whatever you sow will reap. He's letting you know, you do it according to your own stuff. You do it according to your own strength. You're from that. You're gonna reap destruction. This is a system that was set up a long time ago, yes, by God. But here the promise is, God won't be mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Look at the context. He's talking about people of God giving out of their own need towards the cause of the gospel in other places. But that principle stands true all the way through with every promise of God. I'm having a hard time convincing you if I was looking at your faces. Be not deceived. God will not be mocked. He is faithful to His word, and He will see to it that what you have sown in tears. Come on, are you here this morning? You will reap with joy. That's scriptural. All right. Now look at what he says. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9. Let us not be, this is what I want you to look at, let us not be weary in well doing. How many have been standing and believing God for a loved one? A son, a daughter that is strayed away. How many are standing and believing God for something you haven't even told anybody? You went to the doctor, there's a serious situation, and you're standing and you're believing God in faith. You're reaching, you're taking hold of the Word of God. You're not just living on Sunday morning tidbits. You are learning. This is something I got to learn to stand. I got to recognize who my enemy is. I got to recognize that my answer is not found in the world. My answer is not found in others. My anger cannot be directed toward others. My answer is found in the Word of God, and if I'll stand in the Word, listen, if you don't believe that, you're in the wrong place. How many know the Word of God works? Yes. Bump your neighbor, say the Word of God works. Wake him up. Okay, so here we go. So the Word of God, here's what he says. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, how many in here feel that you ought to be coming due here pretty soon? God has declared there is a due season, Angie Reed. There is a due season. And he's already promised. Listen, this is the same picture of Jesus saying, let's get in the boat, boys. Let's go to the other side. Lays down and goes to sleep. The storm begins to come in. The winds blow. The rain. Waves are crashing. They're fearful. They wake him and they say, Master, don't you care if we die? His answer to them was so gentle and seeker-friendly. You. Oh, you of little faith. You can't say that anymore. They'll just go leave here and go to another church. Get mad. Jesus, I'm so glad he wasn't seeker-friendly. Okay? He just laid it where it was. But he loved them and they knew it. He rebukes the storm. Here's the story. Here's the promise. The promise was so subtle they missed it. Let us go. I, who can walk on water, who created the water that I walk on, said, we're going to the other side. Somewhere along the line, you got your eyes caught up so much in the surroundings of your journey that you forgot there's a promise that is enduring that guarantees a due season of arriving at the other shore. Yeah. I don't know another way to say it. I hope you got it. Be not weary. I rebuke weariness. Yes. Come on, are you here today? Can you hook up with me? I rest. Come on, do it with me. I rest weariness that tries to creep up inside of me. No, you, come on, say it like you mean. No, you don't. Tomorrow in the pickup or in the car. No, you don't. Weariness. Be not weary in well-doing. What is well-doing? Are you confessing the Word? Are you confessing your problems to everybody who will listen? Okay, then we'll ask this over here then. Are you confessing the Word? Are you confessing your problems to anybody and everybody that will listen? Now listen, let's get real. Can we get real a minute? Moving down the mountain yesterday, my dad and I started talking about his situation. He's a man of faith. He knows how to believe God. But he's got a situation that he's been battling. We're gaining ground. I want you to know something. Denial is not faith. That's Christian Science. I remember, I've referenced you many times. I walked over, and I hope you don't mind me putting it out there, because I can just as you, here's what Scripture says in Galatians 6:1. If you see a brother or sister overtaken in a fault, go to that one in the spirit of meekness, knowing that you can fall right in the same mess yourself. It didn't make me higher or wiser or better than Carol, but I was outside of the fight. So standing outside of the dogfight, I could see in and coach and say, wait a minute. We say, bump your neighbor and say, I need you. Come on, bump your neighbor. I need you, body of Christ. I can't always see it by myself. I was not made, listen, I was not made with eyes in the back of my head. We need one another. That's not popular in the church right now. But that's really what this was designed for. It works best this way. Went over to Carol's. If you know Carol, God's used this woman and her husband. God has used this woman mightily. She knows the Word of God. I was careful in the way I entreated an elder. I see this woman and her pastoral abilities and her ability to be able to pray for people and see God do mighty things through her hands. But she was in an evil day. A growth on the inside. I can't remember all the details. She was turning yellow and losing strength. And nobody knew. It was the doctors didn't know what to do. And I walked over to her house, stepped inside, and she had every healing and faith book you could think of spread out across her coffee table. And I said, you know what all this is? And I'm sure she thought I was crazy at first because she thought I was going to say, wow, that's awesome. You're just in the Word. I said, you know what all this is? You're scared. You're not in faith. This represents fear. Put it away. Go to the doctor. Let's get a name for this joker and let's come against it in Jesus' name. Denial is not faith. Are you with me? Being afraid to find out what may be going on is not faith. Now, God works in different ways, in different times with different people. But we had to get a hold of something. When we got a name and listen, when we don't know, God can give us the wisdom to know what to do. He has declared already that my healing is secure in Him. Don't you back up. Be not weary in well-doing. Well-doing starts with your mouth. Are you here today? Boy, we have trouble with our mouths. Me included. I'm not. It's this with three at me. See them? See them? And let me tell you something. It's never too late to get a hold of it. Say, wait a minute. Am I being Gideon? Am I not seeing what God sees? Maybe I better open my mouth and begin to say some things. Maybe I need to override that just weakening that seems to just invade the pit of your center and just washes away all confidence and strength as you're being overwhelmed by the wrong kind of information. As unbelief begins to rise over top, open your mouth and shout. Let faith find her voice. Faith that we live by is voice activated. Open your mouth. You say, well, I can't quote all those scriptures. Do you know what they say? You don't have to quote it. There's nothing spiritual about King James. Open your mouth and say what God has said over you and say it screaming at your mountain. Some of you just live too cool and too stoic. You need to get a little wild-eyed and loud. Some of you are looking at me like, huh? Well, I didn't say necessarily in here, otherwise I couldn't preach. This is for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday afternoon. For on the way home. The Word of God works. He designed it that way. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season. Ah, come on, people of God. Say with me, there is a due season. He already said, let us go to the other side. Do not weaken. I don't care what report you heard about your boy. Do not weaken. Arrest weariness. We who are of faith, there is not another option. For we live supernaturally. Draw on the supernatural. Either that, Or we're a racehorse in a pony ride. It just don't fit. What I mean by that, if you are in the Spirit and not walking after the Spirit, you say, wait a minute, that's confusing. No, it's not at all. Read Galatians. How long have been since you read Galatians? Galatians says you're in the Spirit when you confess Jesus as the Lord of your life. But he said somebody who's in the Spirit can not walk, can, is capable of not walking after. How do you walk after? Trust him. Believe him. Start from righteousness. Don't forget who you are. You've heard me say it over and over again, and I realize it's a very dangerous, two-edged sword. But you know what? We pastors, and some of you people have been around a while, we don't control other people's lives. Somewhere we've got to trust the Holy Ghost. I don't care how rough it is for you or how bad you've failed. Never forget you're a King's Key kid. Even in the middle of your struggle, when the devil comes out, you say, uh-uh, I may be struggling. I may have some problems, but uh-uh, I'm a King's kid. No, you don't. You've heard me say it more often than not. The day that I struggled the most, angry, full of resentment, and I was hurt and offended. I said some things to myself and to my wife about some people that had hurt me bad. That's the day I get the phone call with a dire emergency at the hospital. That's not the time for me to go into, woe is me, I'm messed up, I've blown it, there's no anointing. That's a lie! In that moment, I must know, boom, right now, I'm a King's kid. There's an anointing on the inside of me. It's not Jesus. I mean, it's not me that I'm promoting right now. It's Jesus. Some of you need to quit letting yourselves be pushed around. This is where grace is so important. And then you've heard me say it more often than once. The devil will throw that up to me and say, thank you. Me and Dad will get that taken care of when I get back from the hospital. You just blew it. But that has nothing to do with my sonship and my authority and the anointing working on the inside of me. You shut up. I've got to go do some business. Now I realize there's a fine line there. You take people who claim grace and want to use it like Paul said in Galatians as a cloak of maliciousness, abusing their freedom. Paul allowed for that and said, don't let it happen. He was talking to born-again believers, which means it happens. And it's a shame. And it hurts the cause. But it still doesn't change. Come on in here today. Would you say it with me? I'm a King's kid! No devil in hell, even in my weakest has a right to touch me and mine. You better get it straight or you're going back to do good, get good, do bad, get bad. It'll kill you every time. Be not weary in well-doing. What is well-doing? Are you confessing your righteousness every morning? Don't get quiet on me. Are you confessing your righteousness every morning when you get up? I don't care how bad you blew it yesterday. Swing your legs out of the bed. Stand up and say, thank you, Lord, that by your grace, I'm by faith as a child of God, lay claim to what is mine right now and confess that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. The devil will work hardest at that than anything else, because if he can steal your voice of faith on righteousness, he's got everything else. Did you hear what I just said? If he can steal your voice of faith on righteousness, he'll have everything else. He doesn't need to pick on your healing or go over and pick on your finances. If he can get to the core, stand up and talk to yourself. Gideon, Lefford, mighty man of valor, stand and believe God. We doing okay? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due time. Say, there's a due time. Are you here today? There's a due time. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Everybody together in unison. Say, I will. I think you ought to do that a little better. Come on, shout it out. I will reap in God's due time. Now you think God's holding it out. He's got a timing. never know when it is. And if I'll just hang on His time. Listen, this timing thing has a lot to do with what's taking place in your heart. Because the more we reach for Him, and the more that His word is exposed, and the more His promises become a reality, and the less we treat it like a formula, and the more we recognize that faith works by love. Galatians 5. Faith works by love. You go there, the context is about a relationship. It's right back to what Jesus said in John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you. Come on, people, don't go to sleep on this. Ask what you will. This is Bible. Your Bible. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due time. What's the due time? The due time is when your mind is renewed to a point where faith ceases to be an effort and becomes a rest. And before you know what happened, you step into it. It's me digging around in a cabinet after being diagnosed with a blood disease that they couldn't do anything for. And I'm in Honduras reaching for the bag. The day that I took by faith my healing, I forgot about it. 6 months later, the bag is still there with the expense of $120 medicine with the receipt still stapled on the top of it. And I had me a little tizzy in the Holy Ghost. Healed by the power. Aren't you glad? Listen, there is a due time. Trust God. Don't let that fear override. I remember years ago, this is free. I was younger, a little crazier, and I'll cut to the chase. Renegade bull weighed in at a little over a ton. That's 2,000 pounds, you heard me right. Crossbreed on the ranch that I worked on. And this guy had gotten away from us. I was on a little horse, had no name, number 26. And we saw him on the timberline. And my little pony was on the back. And I wasn't waiting for no other cowboy, typical like any other cowboy. And off the back of the trailer, over and under, and away we went. I got to him and caught him first. There was another kid there with us that had just started working at the place. Caught that big old red bull. Well, they got where we were at. He was overpowering us, jerking my pony down on its knees. That little old, as on a mare. Little old mare was spread out like a spider. And I could see this other kid, I won't say his name in case this ever to make its way back around to where I was at, but I could see that I could be in trouble by the look on that kid's face. So finally we get around, I don't know many of you have ever seen this, but we got around, got the trailer backed up, had a hot shot, ran ropes through both sides of the trailer, guy in the back with a hot shot. And as they fed the ropes through, I took about 8 wraps on that horn. And the kid on the other side, I'm watching him. And I know what fear looks like in the eyes of somebody who is scared to death because I saw it in his eyes. Now, about the first time that bull got his front feet leveraged under the back of the trailer because the kid in the back didn't know what he was doing with the hot shot. That's power. Took that little pony of mine. She probably didn't weigh 150, 900 pounds. And bam, up into the side of the trailer. I mean, I come off the ground, everything, wham, into the side of the trailer. Back down, wham, into the side of the trailer, back down. But those 8 wraps were holding. I'm looking through at Ed. Oops, I said it. I'm looking through. And I saw fear. I saw faint. I saw weary. Turn loose. And when he turned loose, there's nothing the way we were leveraged. That horn, that rope come off the horn, busted all the blood vessels in the back. I thought I'd bust my hand totally. I had big welts across my chest, all the blood vessels in the back of my hand. It was that fat. I didn't know if I'd bust it all. I didn't know what had happened. It just that fast. The kid in the back, that bull, so fast, when he turned loose, popped, snapped his arm like a twig. So we got a guy with a broken arm. I don't know what's going on with my hand. Because somebody quit in the middle of the battle. Now, hey, it can happen to anybody. We're all learning and growing. But he quit in the middle of the battle. I want to encourage you today. There are more that be with us than be with them. Do not quit in the middle of the battle. You've heard it all your life. It's cliche. The hottest part of the battle could mean you're at the end. There is a due season. Be not weary in well-doing. Are you here today? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due time. Say, there's a season right around the corner for me. Stand your ground. Keep your mouth right. Believe God. A lot of people don't like this because what it does is it takes the gospel and it puts some responsibility on us. The popular gospel right now is, que sera, sera. You uncomfortable? Me too. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours. Hey, Siraz. Let me continue. Somebody said, Pastor Lee, you do that too good. Romans 5:17 says, they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness empower you to call shots in life. How are we doing, people? Ooh, say, I'm due. Come on, I'm due. I'm not weary. I bind weariness. I shout it down. I'll never forget my wife. I didn't know what to do. A couple of bulldogs come out of nowhere, and our girls were little. I don't know. They wouldn't remember it. I must confess to you that for an instant there, I didn't think about my wife or my babies. It was self-preservation. It was just like, ah! I just told a story of how that I was the tough guy hanging on. Now I'm telling you one about my instant reaction was, ah! Before I could recover, out of nowhere, here comes Jackie. No, you won't! You leave my babies alone! And I watched the grown bulldog turn and some of you need to get a little wild-eyed and start talking to your mountain. That's not crazy. It's called, I believe this to the bone. It's Paul. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day.
Yes.
Excuse me, devil, but I'm tired of moving when you come through. It's time when I come through for you to move. Oh, that's big talk on Sunday morning, Pastor Lee. That's what I'm trying to do. Encourage you, challenge you, get you to open your mouth. Let faith find her voice. Be not weary. Hebrews, I warned you, so this is the message. The other message will wait. Hebrews 12. 1. Oh man, we know these verses. Some of us can quote them by heart. Wherefore seeing we also. Again, I'm taking a scripture completely out of context. Some in here are going to want to argue with me, and that's fine. We can agree to disagree. But the context of this book is primarily to Jews who are struggling with Jesus. And if you're struggling with Jesus, you're not born again. So this book is not carte blanche to believers. Although it references believers within the book, like any letter that would have been written in that age to a multifaceted group of hearers. This is the early church, people. You can't take this book and bring it over into a postmodern 1950s condition Pentecostal gospel and apply it straight down the line. It doesn't work like that. You have to realize the time in which this was written and what was going on. You say, but what about this? What do you mean, what about what? Go down and read where once again he goes through 12. as he's urging them to lay aside everything. He's talking to Jews, holy brethren of Israel. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And I'll be glad to sit down with you and show it to you. He goes on in this same chapter to literally once again defend who Jesus is. In this same chapter, read it. He's talking to real people in a real setting. You with me? In a real setting. And he's urging them. And once again, if you look at it, I didn't mean to get off onto this far, but just for those of you that are struggling, I want to challenge you. He goes on down and he tells them once again that this Jesus is the one. Let's just take a minute if we can. You want to do that? Yeah. All right, we'll just look at one more. We did a whole thing in Bible school on this. Go down to, let's see. Where are we at? I hadn't planned on doing this, so I've got to look for it, because I want to go back to the weary thing. I don't want to get too sidetracked here, but I do want you to see this. Verse 22, but you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, unto God and the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. And then he brings it back to what the book of Hebrews does all the way through, and to Jesus, the mediator. And to Jesus, let me bring you back. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh of better things than that of Abel, referring to who they are and where they've come from. That you refuse not him. His heart's cry still in Hebrews 12 is that you don't refuse Jesus. That you refuse not him that speaketh, for they escape not who refused him that spake on earth. Much more shall not we escape if we return away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things which are shaken. The old temple, the old Jerusalem system. He's pointing them back to Jesus. How many are glad you're in Jesus today? And you don't have to worry about those things. But there still is a truth here for us. Hence my sermon. Scriptures purposely taken out of context. Here we are. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. For the principle is still there. It applies for us. There's principles of God. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Woo! Aren't you glad he is the author and the finisher of your faith? Then look what he says. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. King James makes it a little bit confusing. He's saying, remember Jesus, who was chastised and abused and spoken against for your sake. He was in that place of suffering for you and I. He said, remember that. Remember who he is and what he did. Here's why. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Write this down. Ephesians 4:23 tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Don't let weakness and weariness. Are you here today? Are you here today? Don't let that overwhelm you. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Yes. Woo, that's good news. Turn to your neighbor, say, that's good news. Did I get a little heavy-handed with the 12? I apologize. With Hebrews 12? I wanted you to see that. Because I get so many people that get so confused. You take that out of context where it doesn't belong. That book is scary. It's not supposed to be scary. It's supposed to uplift Jesus all the way through. What a beautiful, beautiful revelation. How many know we don't have to faint in our minds? Aren't you glad for Jesus? Can you stand a couple more and then we'll close? Turn with me to 1 Peter. Actually, wait a minute. No, let's go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Now, you guys know this scripture, most of you, very well. But I want to encourage you in God this morning. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Go all the way down. Some of you need to hear this. Reach up and turn your spiritual ears on. If they haven't been yet, turn them on. Open that receiver wide open. Listen to what the Word of God says to you this morning. Verse 29, He giveth power to the faint. Come on, would you this morning lay your Bible down, kick your hands up high all over the place. Thank you, Lord. Say it with me. Thank you, Lord, for power. Power. When that faintness rolls in over me like a wave, I thank you, Lord, that when I'm weak, in that moment, as I trust you, you are strong in my behalf. Come on, people of God, strong in my behalf. He gives power to the faint. You feel faint? Don't let the devil use that to back you into a hole. Say, this is my opportunity, like Gideon, to say, wait a minute, who am I? I just remembered, I'm a king's kid. No, you don't. How about it, Don? Isn't this awesome? He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might. Come on, people of God, that weakness down on the inside of you that wants to weaken and delude your faith, listen to what the Word of God says. He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. Do you feel like you have no might this morning? Do you feel like you're facing something that just wants to overwhelm you? He increaseth strength. One more time, lift up both your hands today. Thank you, Lord, for strength. This is what I do in our services. Thank you, Lord, for strength that is supernatural. I have an anointing on the inside of me. Oh, come on, strength. Strength. It drives out every disease. Strength that drives out every fear. Strength that causes me to stand when everybody around me won't. Strength to be not weary in well-doing. Because my reward, Tommy Reed, is due. And I'm calling it in. Hallelujah. How many glad for Jesus today? Woo! That's awesome. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll rise up with wings and as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They will walk. Say with me, I walk by faith. Come on. I walk by faith. I will walk and not faint. Take it, Dad. Hallelujah. I admired him last night. We're walking through. We got on the wrong side of the building and had to walk all the way around that big corridor. And that stuff tried to climb in on top of him and one foot in front of the other. And we sat and enjoyed the game, walked our way back out of there. Come on, put one foot in front of the other and call a spade a spade. Believe God. Let the word of God be true and every man a liar. We doing okay? Can you handle a little more? I hope so, because I'm going there. Okay. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter, and I'll tidy this. Hey, it's only 11:30. 2 Peter chapter 3. Starting in verse 9. Come on, people of God, are you here today? Do you got your marker out? You got your pen? You got your pencil? If you don't believe in writing in your own Bible, I want you to reach over and write in your neighbor's Bible. Neighbor's Bible. Don't write in your neighbor's navel. Write in your neighbor's Bible. I'll get it out right here. We go. Write in your neighbor's Bible. If you can't write in your own, write in somebody's Bible. But let it be heard, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. I hope I'm encouraging your heart today. in Jesus' name. He is not slack. Come on, say it with me. He is not slack for me. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but as long suffering towards usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There it is again. Another scripture I took out of context, but the principle is still true. He is not slack concerning his promises. You'll never forget the out of context on purpose message. Say, he's not slack according to his promises. Aren't you glad for that? You know what I mean by context, don't you? Semi tongue in cheek. Okay. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh man, I'll tell you what. Don't let anything distract you from the central truth that is here. I don't know when that due is. It's not God withholding anything. It has to do with faith and heart belief and unbelief being abated and some things coming into play. Sometimes it happens gradual. It's a chain that is dissolving. Other times it can be a snap. I was standing in an aisle in my cowboy boots and hat in a Walmart the day that I was struggling with paying $120 for that medicine. You know what my due season was? You know what my trigger of faith was? I was standing there straining about paying $120 because we didn't have any money to go to Honduras, and we were standing there wondering what we were going to do. I mean, it was all of our money. And it was like the Holy Spirit whispered in my ear and said, "You think you're going to believe God for healing and you can't stand for $20? And I went, "Oh, that's simple. I'm going to go buy the medicine that I won't need." My due season came just like that. Don't try to make your testimony match mine. It may be a dissolving chain. As we stand, face like a flint, trusting God, calling things which be not as though they were. I love Hebrews 11, which says that Abraham was a man as good as dead. You ever read that? You notice that lately? He was a man who was as good as dead. Feel like you're as good as dead sometimes? You qualify for a major miracle. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due time. Where was I at? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 20 through 22. Try to finish up here. I got the wrong, I think it's 2 Corinthians. Let me see. Yeah. I wrote it down wrong in my hurry. For all the promises are you here this morning? The Word of God says, if you put your faith in Jesus, great is your peace. Come on, I challenge that ruffle and wrinkle, that constant fighting. What Richie addressed by the Spirit of God. Challenge it in yourself. For all the promises of God are yes. And in Him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. Now He which establish us with you in Christ hath anointed us. Come on, are you here today? Lift your hands one more time. Say, I'm anointed to kick some devil hiney. Come on, yes, I did say that. I'm anointed to kick some devil hiney. You get out of my way this time. Now he which established us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God. 22, who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Can you handle another? Romans 8. No, let's back up. 1 Peter, I'm gonna do it. 1 Peter, you guys doing okay? First Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Here we go. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. How many know how to humble yourselves before God? Humble yourself before God does not mean, oh, Lord, today we just come before you. We just humble ourselves. We're just so unworthy. We're just so before you, and we just whatever you want and nothing we want, and we're just so humble. We're just so humble. We make ourselves sick. You know how you humble yourself? Oh, you just said it. Give me more, David. How does that look? God said it. I believe it, so I'm going to say it. He pronounced this over me. I better hook up and agree. Because if I'm not agreeing with what he's saying over me, I'm walking in arrogance and disobedience. Actual humility is saying, I agree with what you say. And I'm going to let your word be found in my mouth no matter what it looks like. Humility can be Elijah standing and saying, it shall not rain for the course of 3.5 years. That was called by James a fervent prayer. You'll not have my babies. I don't care what it looks like. No, you won't. Be not weary in well-doing. Stand your ground. Help me, Lord Jesus. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. There is that word again. In due time. I don't know what happened, but boy, it was about the darkest, blackest. Man, it seemed like everything was going to hell in a handbasket. And suddenly, as I was praising God in chains and bonds, that jail began to shake and the prison doors were thrown open. And I was so fired up, I didn't even want to leave. I hung around to preach Jesus. Suddenly, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth. Man, it'd be so easy to just walk because we're a little over and just walk, breeze right through this. How many this morning need to get a revelation of his care for you? Without hitches. Yeah, but Pastor Lee, if you knew what a scumbag I was, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's start there. Tell the devil to shut up. He cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks around about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast. Whom resist steadfast. In the faith. Whom resist steadfast. You're tired, hungry, ready to go home. Don't miss this. Whom resist steadfast. 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 In the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished. In other words, people all over the world, brothers just like you, are going through the same struggles. But we have the victory. But the God of grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you, listen to this next phrase. This is a promise. Underline what he says right there. He's going to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Perfect, establish. How many know some flaky Christians? And never, it seems like they're never going to settle down. And the church has helped that happen. Stay with me. Established. Say it out loud like you mean it. I am established. Woo, that's good news. I'm strengthened. I'm settled. Who I am. This is what he's doing. Amen. Romans 8, and we're done. I'm doing what I did last week, I guess. Hey, you came to go to church, didn't you, and hear the word, so this is what we're doing. Romans 8, here we go. You know what's coming, but you need to hear it today. Father God, in Jesus' name, I'm thanking you. Weariness has no place in my heart. And when I feel faint, you give strength. The scripture that I'll spare you, won't have you turn there, but Isaiah 40, I remember we were in Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40, I believe it's 10 and 11 or 11 and 12, I think it's 10 and 11, says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." Listen, somebody needs to hear this morning. "For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Walk out of here saying, "It's not all up to me. I serve a great God. He put great things on the inside of me. Faint-heartedness will not be a part of my daily walk as faith finds its voice." Romans 8, be blessed as we're dismissed. We'll open up the altars as we're dismissed. If you came here today and need a prayer, please don't leave without having somebody. I'm going to remain up here together with the prayer team. You don't know Jesus? I think I know everybody in here, but you don't know Jesus? I'd love to just lead you in a simple prayer and know Jesus as your personal Savior. That's what we're here for today. It's not difficult. It's wonderfully easy. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you'll be saved. That's how uncomplicated it is. John even made it less complicated. He said, "If you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, done deal." Don't look at me like that. John said it. Okay? Right, John? Romans 8. Starting all the way down. Let this bless your heart this morning. Maybe you haven't heard it in a little while. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Are you here, people? Before you go on this 4th of July weekend, freely give us all things. Everything, Peter said, that pertains to life and godliness has been given to us through the knowledge of his Son. Who is he that condemneth? Hey, Christ died. Rather, is risen again and at the right hand of God. He's the one who makes intercession for us. Nobody has the right to condemn me. Are you here? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For it is written, for your sake, we're set for the killing all the day long. How many in here feel like sometimes you just can't hardly get off the ground before you get smacked again? Paul's identifying here with your plight. Listen to what he says. I'm persuaded, though. He says, nay, in all these things, 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Shout it out with me. I'm more than a conqueror. Come on, I'm more than a conqueror. Through him that loved us. Time's late, but I got to tell you. Boxer goes, fights a fight, wins millions of dollars, walks home, walks in the door, hands millions of dollars check to his wife. He's a conqueror. She's more than a conqueror. He paid it all. All you got to do is receive it. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. Come on, more than a conqueror through Jesus. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. Listen to what he says. I am persuaded. Would you stand this morning? Lift your hands heavenward. Come on, all over the room. Let this be your anthem today. Let this be your anthem this week. Say with me all over the room. Say, I am persuaded. Even while you're saying that, there's that weak wants to come in and just overwhelm you. Shout at it. Come on, say, I am persuaded. Come on, I'm persuaded. Every promise in Him is yes and amen. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, you got a shout left in you this morning? Come on, all over the room. Aren't you glad nothing separates us from the love of God? Have a wonderful, blessed, safe 4th of July. Share Jesus with somebody. Tell them what He's doing in your life. Let me pray for you before you go. Father, in the name of Jesus, every single man, woman, and child in this room, we declare your blessing. We declare your favor. We declare your might. We declare your strength. We declare the spirit of might over people today. We declare in Jesus' name that that due season is coming together. We declare today in Jesus' name, a safe 4th of July. No disasters, no accidents, nothing going wrong as we stand as King's kids and call the shots in Jesus' name. And if you believe that for yourself, shout amen. Amen. Come on, shout amen. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Come on, people, we praise you, God. Come on, let me hear you praise Him. Let's worship Him. We love you and we praise you and we worship you. We thank you for great strength. Great strength. Great strength. I don't know where there's a mic at. All I got is a hand mic. Father, we worship you and praise you. Are you glad for Jesus today? Hallelujah. Go ahead.
The cordless? Okay. Throughout the message that Pastor Lee was sharing, and what a good message that was. That was so encouraging and just, amen. The word is so good. God is so good. And the word that kept sitting with me was hope. You know, and so often the world prepares us, you know, for the rainy day. You got to be prepared for what's around the corner. You got to, you know, just you can enjoy the moment, but don't enjoy it too much because you have to keep your eyes open for what's around the corner and what's going to come get you. And as believers, we shouldn't live that way. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says at the very end, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And so often we talk about faith and we talk about love, but it's so easy to avoid hope. Like, it's not as important as faith and love, yet it's listed right there. Faith, hope, love. It's okay to have hope. It's okay to look at your situation and let the hope of God fill you.
Yes.
It's okay to look at those scriptures that Pastor Lee shared with us today and see the hope in it that God has for you. You can look at your situation and you can say, God, I let your hope into my heart. I'm going to have hope in this situation. I will not let fear grip me. I will stand in faith. I will walk in love, and I'm going to let your hope fill me up. So don't be afraid as you're looking at your situation, as you're shouting at the devil. Don't let other people speak into your life and fill you with fear and doubt and make you think about, okay, well, how can I prepare for the worst if this doesn't go the way I think it should? God, this is your promise, but if it doesn't work out, how can I prepare for the rest?
Yes.
No, stand in faith, walk in love, and let the hope of God fill you up.
Yes, yes. Listen, stay, Esther, stay a minute. Well, just stay right there, just so people... You never hear it called the gospel of faith. It's called the gospel of hope. As I'm preaching and laboring this morning, I'm aware of the time, but I'm also aware that there are people that don't need 3 points in a poem. Some of you are in a fight. I'm laden. That's a labor. I feel that weight with you. That's part of my job. And I can't just be cute and kick through a few things to give you a little tidbit to cope. I want to see you rise, and I believe you will. And what she just said is so true. What you heard today was the announcement once again of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope of the gospel that if you'll embrace it, gives way to faith, which makes you an overcomer. Are you here today? It's called the gospel of hope. The hope of the gospel is what you hear. You know what hope is? You know what hope means? It's not hope like we understand now in modern English. Bible hope means this: the assurance of things to come.
Yeah, that's right.
Woo! You better get out of here before I start preaching again. Be dismissed in the grace of God. Thank you, Esther. Altars are open as we can.